Thank you very much. My name is Stephanie, and I'm a grateful bulimic, sugar addict, and compulsive overeater. And it's very early in the morning, and I didn't sleep much, but I'm going to do my best. It's been a long time since I qualified at an OA meeting. Just a little bit of bio or whatever. On December 26th, through the grace of God, I will have 15 years of abstinence from my active bulimia and sugar. Sugar was my primary, absolutely primary addiction from when I was little. And the bulimia, it got took me a long time to admit that and to understand that. let me just a little background. I come from a family who all the men, most of the men on my father's side of the family were alcoholic, and my mother's side of the family were overeaters. I shouldn't say overeaters. They were all fat, basically. 20 size, 24 and a half was what I grew up with the adults, with the adult women in my family. Actually, both sides of the family. And so I knew what both of those things were. And I know this is OA, but I've been sober a long time. The first addiction I got in touch with was my alcoholism. It took a while for the food, for me to admit the food part. But growing up, so the women were fat, and the good Italian family was, you feel good, mangia, mangia. Basically, eat something, you'll feel better. And that's basically how I grew up around food. When I was very little, I don't remember overeating as a little, very little. My father died when I was 11, and my weight plummeted, it just rose. I went from a size 9 to a size 16 in a very short period of time. As I said, sugar was candy, and sugar and sweets were my big go-tos, and pasta, of course. And the Italian family was the other food that put on the weight. Let's put it that way. I can remember having pimples when I was a teenager, and it was from candy. That's what I was told. I ate too much chocolate, and it was very embarrassing. So the weight and the what it did to me, what the sugar did to me, was very embarrassing. And I guess shame filled. I guess in high school I learned how to control my weight. I don't remember actually dieting, but I guess I did because I did lose weight. And for many years, I would diet. I would, went up and down. As I said, I was also drinking. So the drinking took was what I used as the coping mechanism. When I got sober, then the food suddenly took over. There was a point, I guess it was about 30, let's see, 30, no, about 35 years ago, I got in touch with a lot of that I was abused as a child. And that spirals me into anger and resentment and pain, a lot of pain. I didn't drink over it, but I ate over it. And I wound up in a rehab for children of alcoholics and Chit Chat out in Pennsylvania. I don't know if anybody knows. I don't even know if it's still there, but I wound up there. And when I was there, that's when I was told that I had an eating problem. And I was like, really? Like, I don't think so. And the recommendation was that I go to OA. I didn't know what OA was. I had no clue. But for some reason, during that week that I was there, the bulimia, I guess I really honestly don't remember how it was told to me, but my treatment plan leaving there was to go to OA meeting. And I don't remember how I let that out there, but I must have because they recommended OA meetings. As I said, I was sober. So I wound up going to my meetings, the my AA meetings, and I found OA meetings. And I found OA meetings that were for anorexics and bulimic. I didn't know what bulimia was. Honestly, I had no idea. And so I started going. And I started going to these OA meetings. I used to go into Manhattan. I lived in Queens. I used to go into Manhattan, and I met a woman who was a bulimic, who was abstinent. And I stayed abstinent. And I went to these meetings, and I was honest. My bulimia, the way it, what's the word? I used to use laxatives. So I got in touch with that, and I stopped. And I stopped doing that. And I stayed abstinent through those OA meetings for, I don't know, maybe a couple of years. Honestly, I don't remember exactly how long. And I'd go to the meetings and I'd share. And I, you know, I knew what the 12 steps were. I knew what I was supposed to do. And, you know, and then I stopped going. And I used, as they say, the credits don't transfer, but I used my 12-step program for my drinking as my OA program. And I did not eat any sugar. The sugar was gone. I didn't eat any desserts. I didn't eat any candy. I stopped the laxatives. And, you know, my family all knew, and I go to functions and I wouldn't eat anything. And then I started eating the sugar-free stuff, and that triggered more. I'd buy a box of sugar-free cookies and eat the whole thing. That is what triggered the active bulimia again and the active sugar. And that went on for a long time. And I was in denial, you know, so I bought sugar-free ice cream, I bought sugar-free cookies, I bought sugar-free candy. But I'd eat the whole half gallon of sugar-free ice cream, very smart. And then I realized that the sugar-free candy had whatever the chemical is that was a diuretic. So I was off to the races. And I would, you know, spend time, you know, using it, and then I'd stop, and I was up and down, and, you know, my weight, I never got to the 24 and a half. I never got that heavy. So that's what the bulimia was controlling that. I was never going to get and look like my mother. I was never going to have to go into Lane Bryant's. I was never going to have to go in any of those stores to get the big clothes. But my weight was going up, and it was crazy. Along somewhere in here about, well, my daughter's 28. I adopted a little girl from China, and on my own, because part of my addiction was also relationships. And I finally figured out when I was 44 that I, you know, I want to be a mother. I don't want to give birth. I want to be a mother. And so I adopted this little girl, and my food, again, it was going up and down, and I would binge. I would, you know, when she was old enough, I'd buy sugar, I'd buy candy, and I put it in the bottom drawer. That was her drawer. But when she went to sleep, I dug into it. And I did a lot of this stuff, you know, when I learned, you know, when I heard every other people talking in OA, you know, out of the guy, I'd throw something out, and I, you know, decided, no, I'm going to eat it. And, you know, so my food just was crazy. And about 16 years ago, I met a woman in AA who was in OA, and she gently, very gently, 12-stepped me back into program. She was also bulimic, and I wound up sharing with her what I was doing, and I wound up carbs where I started eating a lot of carbs, and it was crazy. But what really got me into program was the diuretics and the laxatives. So 15 years ago, I completely bottomed out. I wanted to jump off my terrace. That's how horrible I felt. I was in pain. I was in emotionally and physically, emotionally especially. I just couldn't do it anymore. Just couldn't do it anymore. Didn't want to tell anybody what I was doing. And through the grace of God, Jocelyn was there. And I remember, you know, just saying, I'm done. I can't do this. I cannot do this anymore. She had started an OA meeting here in Rockaway, and I crawled in. I literally crawled in on December 26th. You know, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I started going back to that meeting. It was here once a week. It was actually mostly the people I knew, because they were double winners. It started my journey on, you know, being honest, really being honest. And it wasn't about the weight anymore. Jocelyn was very gentle, and it's the number on the scale is not your business, Stephanie. You know, your higher power is going to do this. She was very gentle in terms of plan of eating. And I like when you start the meeting started with every plan of eating is different for each person, because I knew people here in Rockaway who were on gray sheet and was like, I can't do that. It's a bulimic. I can't do that because all I'm going to want to do is control and I can't do it. So weigh and measuring was not my thing. I cannot weigh and measure. and my weight went down and then it went up a little bit, you know, and then it went down and then it went up a little bit. But my bottom line abstinence is I don't binge, I don't purge, you know, and I don't touch sugar, you know, any kind of processed, you know, sugar. I also started to, somewhere in my abstinence a couple of years in, I realized that I really do need to do something with the white flour, and I really need to look at that. It doesn't change that I'm abstinent. It just changed my It changes my abstinence, but it's not the bottom. The bottom line is sugar and purging. And again, Jocelyn was very blessed. I was very blessed with that. She goes, you know, like, whatever fits on the plate, that's your meal. And it's like, okay, that works. You know, I just want a big plate sometimes, but I laugh at that, you know, so I'll get the bigger plate at a buffet, but it's still whatever fits on the plate. And it keeps me honest to have to share it with someone about my food. Salty snacks and like potato chips. I don't know if I can talk about food, but the salty snacks is part of what I can binge on. And I have had to be aware of that. And I allow it in my abstinence. But if I'm doing it because I want to bury my feelings, that's the other part, I guess. Part of it is I eat to bury what I'm feeling. And I'm not a night eater. I don't get up in the middle of the night and eat, but I have wanted to, and that also helps me cut the denial, you know, and that's why I like coming. What are the reasons I come to meetings when I hear people say that? I could be a grazer. And when I graze, it might be on fruit, but I'm still grazing, you know, so I have to be honest about it and aware of it. I don't change my day count. I don't change my abstinence. I didn't go to OA meetings for a while when COVID stopped. When my meeting ended, there just weren't enough people. And then when COVID started, I started coming every day. And then I go to one at 7:15 every day. Then I found this meeting. I was like, okay, I'm up early anyway, most of the time. What keeps me abstinent is my higher power, and that's what I have to remember. I am not in charge of what I put in my mouth. God is, you know, and I try every day. I'm very routine. I eat the same thing for breakfast, pretty much eat the same thing for lunch. Dinner, it's always, I eat protein, and it's almost like I joke around sometimes. It's like when I learned the four food groups, that's what I do. Well, I don't know, somehow my childhood just says those four food groups. I need protein, I need, you know, fruit and vegetables, and that's basically my plan. You know, now I have a granddaughter who is 3 and a half, a little over 3 and a half. And, you know, I see her being given sugar, and I'm like, no, don't do that. And I know I'm not in charge, of any of that. I'm very grateful for OA. I'm very grateful that I found it again. And I see this disease and it really hurts because I have a niece who is diabetic and she's overweight. And I want to like scream and make her do what she's supposed to do, but I can't. I can't. I'm grateful for everybody I hear on meetings. It helps me know I'm not alone. I don't share a lot. And like I said, I haven't qualified in a long time. But I do need to remember, and I'm glad I'm sharing this month, because I do need to remember that I crawled into meetings. I wanted to die. I wanted to die because I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop the laxative. I couldn't stop the sugar. It was impossible. It was I was so out of control. As far as the steps, I've done the steps in OA. I found somebody here in Rockaway, and I went through them. I can't say I've made amends to people.
5 minute
what,
reminder.
Thank you. I can't say that I've made amends. My family wouldn't understand if I went to them and said that I'm bulimic and I have to, you know, I used to not have food in my house. One funny story is when I got sober, while I was drinking, I used to go to my family to eat because I also didn't have a whole lot of money. And I always worked. I always had a job. I've never been out unemployed. I've always been with crazy, crazy men, but I've never, been, I never sunk. I never hit that bottom. And I remember after I got sober, my sister came over and said, oh, you have food in your refrigerator. You know, I mean, I used to not eat all day. That's the other thing. I used to not eat all day and then have like a pound of pasta for dinner. That was my modus operandi. I don't eat all day because I eat breakfast and I'm hungry and I have to eat lunch. So I don't eat breakfast and lunch, but I have a big dinner and I never lost weight because that does not work. I had a relative when I was little who used to say, breakfast is your most important meal. And he was always, shut up. I don't eat breakfast. Leave me alone. I'm not going to eat breakfast. You know, so I've learned that I need food for nourishment, not for feelings. And I don't want to use food to stuff those feelings. And I don't want to judge myself by how I look. As I said, started with, you know, the number on the scale is not my business. I want to be healthy today. Have I in my abstinence tried to control? And, you know, there was a point where I was kind of more controlling what I was eating for the calories. And that was okay because I was honest about it. You know, if I'm hiding what I'm doing with food, then I'm in trouble. So I need to just be honest. That's one of my main things. So yes, the steps are in my life. And yes, I do try to do the best I can every day. And that's all I can do. The other thing Jocelyn used to say was, you have to take the tiger out of the cage every meal, every day. You know, I don't drink. That's easy. I don't drink. I don't drink. But for food, I have to take the tiger out every day. And I have to just understand that I'm not in control of it. I do what I have to do to stay healthy. That's what I try to do. And if that's, I guess that's the message. For me, I'm trying to do what I have to do to stay healthy and not use, you know, purging. If I started purging again, I'm dead. I'm done. I will wither. I will want to jump off the terrace again. And I don't want to be back there at all, ever. So I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful. God has given me a lot of gifts. And OA is one of them. And I don't know if I've made, I know I made sense to me. I hope I made sense for somebody else. So thank you for letting me share.